Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Special vinyl collector's edition remastered original motion picture soundtrack of Star Wars A New Hope for $150.
Mm. Ooh.
Wow.
$150.
Dude, it's like I just threw tax on the floor for you all.
Yeah.
This is James Arnold Taylor, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. I have a good feeling about this.
Hello and welcome to show number 98 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking hot coffee out of a red Star Wars mug decorated with Vader, Star Destroyers, and some snowflakes. It's labeled as an ugly Christmas sweater mug, but it's pretty awesome to me. So go ahead and grab your favorite beverage as we sit down and have some Star Wars conversation. We hope to make you think about the mythology of Star Wars in a whole new way, and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. On today's show, we catch up with CWK co-creator Corey Club to see what he's been up to, discuss our big move to Blog Talk Radio, and reveal what the CWK coffee break will be. We check in with Jason Brame for an update on Star Wars canon. CWK newsman Tom Gross will bring us the latest Star Wars news, and in the coffee chat, we discuss Phasma chapters 12 to 18. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
We've got a lot of big things coming up at Coffee with Kenobi. I will be heading to Orlando and Walt Disney World shortly after the time of this recording to preview the brand new The Last Jedi destination on Star Tours, so I'm very much looking forward to bringing you all the latest on that. I also want to make sure that if you haven't purchased the Star Wars Experience Dinner and a Movie at the Peoria Riverfront Museum and you're interested in doing so, there are still a few tickets left, very, very few, because it's really caught on, and I'm thrilled about this because I think it's going to be a great evening. Peter Wentworth Shields, who helped design the cockpit of the Falcon, the Death Star garbage compactor, and the kitchen interior on Tatooine, is going to be there. He also worked on A Clockwork Orange, Captain Nemo, and The Little Prince. And of course, we end the evening, besides dinner, we will be watching, of course, Star Wars The Last Jedi, and I am hosting the event. It's going to be a really magical evening. I got a lot of great word of mouth, and I've heard from a lot of you about the fact that you're going to be heading to experience this, and I can't wait to meet each of you. And as I mentioned, there are a few tickets left, and I just checked, there are three left. So please be sure to jump in on that if you're at all interested in being a part of this incredible evening. Also, I have the Star Wars and Mythology presentation of the Peoria Riverfront Museum that is coming up also the weekend that Star Wars The Last Jedi premieres. Again, it's also at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. It is Saturday, December 16th, and my presentation will be at 2 o'clock. I will be talking about Star Wars and Mythology, talking about mythological stories throughout the history of storytelling and how they are connected to Star Wars. And I will also get into the mythology of Star Wars itself and try to unravel the Rubik's Cube that the Star Wars canon can sometimes be. It would be wonderful to see as many of you there as possible. It's always great to talk with other Star Wars fans, and it's going to be such a great, exciting weekend anyway because of The Last Jedi. So I hope to see you all there.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Joining us today for a cup of coffee is the co-creator and former co-host of Coffee with Kenobi, Corey Club.
I'm back. Let's do this.
You're back. Yeah, it's almost like you're on show 97.
Yeah, I feel like I was just on here talking Star Wars or something like that.
I do. I really think you're going to be a natural. So what has been going on with you?
Yeah, not a whole lot. We're counting down the days. Taking a trip to Disney pretty soon here. You're looking forward to that, counting down about a week out now. We're excited to do all things Disney and check out, hopefully get the Star Tours ride for the Last Jedi, which debuts, I think, this week. So it's exciting to be able to look forward to that with the family. Some good time to relax and rest up and enjoy some Disney. We love our Disney. Along with that, just been out and about. I haven't really picked anything up necessarily Star Wars-wise. A friend of mine at work today actually brought in a Last Jedi poster for me that I was unable to get through Fandango. If you go through Fandango, which hint, hint, go through Coffee with Kenobi to check out your tickets for the movie. I think they throw in a poster that that goes along with. I'm not sure of the details. You might have to check out the website for sure.
Oh, you're
sure.
Exactly right. That's exactly.
I don't know
right.
if there's a limited number or not. But I think it's a kind of cool promotion, kind of fun, kind of interesting. But yeah. I got one from a friend of mine today, so it's kind of cool to see just a buddy kind of, you know, gave to me just as a gift and do it that way. But other than that, I mean, I've only watched the most recent trailer twice. I've kind of forgotten about that. I mean, life seems to get in the way, you know, and as we come closer and closer to the new movie, we're a month out. I was just looking at the dates today, and it's becoming even more real. It's exciting to be in this time again. You know, it's a rush. It's the forefront of everybody's kind of radar, and it's Star Wars time again.
It is. And you know, the season gets a little bit chillier and get the coats out and
yep. Yeah.
Well, the figures have been in stores so long that you almost forgot when they weren't in stores.
Yeah,
so
good point.
Closer
yeah.
to the movie. So yeah, we're a month away. The day of this recording, we are an actual month away. Thanksgiving is next week. And before I forget, we actually will be taking a break next week. The first week that we haven't put out a show since this new format, because it's Thanksgiving, we're just going to sort of reboot and have some turkey and... Yeah. It'll be fun. Plus, it'll give you a little more time to catch up on Phasma. But so you mentioned, you know, being a month away from The Last Jedi. Really, really fun to think about. And where are you going to see it? He asks knowingly.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny because the discussion around the office for me is getting tickets early. It seems to be the thing. A friend of mine got invited to a private screening up north towards Chicagoland area and through just one of his work business accounts, and it's kind of neat to see that, you know, it seems to be in the knowledge base of everybody that's, you know, going out to see the film either Thursday evening or Friday day all day long when it opens. But personally, you and I will be hanging out downtown Peoria, down at the probably the best theater in the area, the Peoria Museum, which we did the Rogue One premiere, which was a blast. Still have great memories with that. And this seems to be right up there with there. I mean, it's the first showing on Thursday night. I know those tickets are kind of hard to come by nowadays for that. And I'm excited to be able to be the first ones in line to go check it out. But yeah, it is something that I enjoy to do. I think we in the past we did a recording for Force Awakens at one of the more local movie theaters. It was just regular kind of
yeah,
a theater seating. Yeah, but this one's got the giant screen, so
that's right.
It's not an IMAX flavor, but it still has a twinge of like grandioso in it. So I think it's kind of fun.
So well, yeah, it's just really, like you said, it's right where we did the premiere for Rogue One, and expect to have even more excitement. That's going to be quite a weekend because
yeah.
The next day, the actual day, the 15th, I'll be hosting the Star Wars Experience Dinner in a Movie. And at the very, very top of the show before Corey came on, I said there were 3 tickets left. I just checked it again. It's sold out now.
Whoa, that's awesome.
I know. So, well, thanks, man. It's cool. I think it's because Peter Wentworth Shields, who designed the cockpit of the Falcon, is going to be there. And I've had a chance. I haven't actually got to speak with him yet. I've spoken with people who are working with him to make this happen at the museum, and sounds like a fascinating guy. It's going to be a great night. We will we'll definitely miss you there.
Absolutely. I mean, I had other engagements. We've got a work Christmas party to attend, but
you're
I definitely
jet setter. Yeah, you're a
jet setter. Hey, I got a lot of people want my attention. I got to give out portions, but
that's right.
No, it's all good fun. I'm glad for you. I'm excited for you. And when you first talked about it, you're very excited. You sent me a message, and we're pretty excited. I mean, that's the other thing too. When you sent me the first original message, folks know that we text all the time, and I thought, oh, it's just for the regular showing, and I didn't know there'd be dinner served. Oh, that's fascinating, you know. I thought he was really treating me to a fun time, but no, this is something different. You're seeing it two times in a row, and definitely with a great guest, and obviously a big fanfare, and a dinner to boot. So.
You want to know something even crazier?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, so we'll be seeing it on the 14th. Obviously, yes. the premiere, you and I will be broadcasting, as we just said, from the Peoria Riverfront Museum. And then the next time will be the dinner and a movie that we talked about. But during the day on the 15th, I'm taking both of my mythology classes to see. So I will have seen it 3 times in 2 days.
Oh wow. Is that a new high for you for successions of seeing a film?
That I haven't done that since Revenge of the Sith.
Okay. Yeah.
It just hasn't worked out that way, but this has, just because, I mean, being a sort of a part of it, and then you know, I mean, taking my students is going to be fun. We've had so much fun with our mythology unit closing out, because they're just a semester classes. So
okay,
I close it out with Star Wars, and I kind of give a special shout out to Craig Dickinson, because I worked with him on this. And one of the things you do as a teacher is you beg, borrow, and steal from people who've already done it and have traversed the waters and done it well. And Craig is one of the best out there, as well as a great guy. So thank you, Craig, for sharing that with me. I've done a little few tweaks, made a few special modifications myself, but I'm not rushed. So, and I'd be happy to share those with you for sure. Now, we were talking a lot about excitement, and obviously you saw, in fact, you were the first person to know, because that's what we do, is now Coffee with Kenobi is on Blog Talk Radio. And I have gotten a lot of questions and a lot of inquiries about this, as have the other hosts of our Coffee with Kenobi family. So before I address those, and maybe I will just through our conversation, but what questions did you have about Blog Talk Radio?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing too. It's cool when you send me this information. I think you're always on the fringe of expanding the show, making it better, just tweaking things here and there, like you said, just to promote and get listeners on board, and definitely allowing us to stretch our Star Wars universe, our little show here. And as you're always getting trying new tactics and such. And this was something that was kind of I don't want to say it was a bold move, but it was definitely something. I know you wanted to wait the highs and lows of such a venture with me and some of our good friends and close people who work with us on blogging for us and such. And I think that was a smart move on your part. You know, you went to us and kind of ran through the ideas and told us what it was all about. So I guess my first question is, like, does this change the whole format again for Coffee with Kenobi?
Yeah, that's a good question. It does not change. The only thing that it changes, the format will be the same. The host will be the same. Our collaboration and our friendship and admiration for one another is all the same. But the difference, the only difference that people will notice, so I guess there are two. The first difference is that every show has their own iTunes feed. Mm-hmm. And the Lattes with Leia one just launched. And that's awesome. So Legends Library, Comics with Kenobi, Rebels Reactions, and Lattes with Leia all have their own iTunes feeds. If you're subscribing to our show, Coffee with Kenobi, well, nothing changes for you. You don't have to resubscribe, that you're already a part of that. And thank you so much for subscribing. It means the world and helps us to continue to bring this show to you. But now everybody else has their own feed. And on every pair of show notes, we're going to make sure that everybody sees where to subscribe. You can do searches on iTunes for all the shows. So that's a huge thing. That's a really huge thing. And the other thing is that, see, Blog Talk Radio, their head, Jay Soderberg, he used to be in charge of ESPN's podcast network. And he branched out and created Blog Talk Radio. And there are many, many, many shows on there. But he happened to listen to our show, and he liked it, and he reached out and invited us to be a part of the network. And that was amazing. That was quite an event to get that email, because it's a huge honor. As of now, we are the second Star Wars show to be a part of Blog Talk Radio. So that's pretty phenomenal. It's going to be even more exposure for us to be able to bring even more people into the conversation. And there's a press release of it on Blog Talk Radio's blog, as well as at the top of coffeewithkenobi.com, where you can also find the links to all the iTunes accounts for all of our network of shows. But it also allows us to monetize at no cost to the listener. So this is another way for us to earn some money to help expand the Coffee with Kenobi network and to be able to reach more people. And again, give everyone, as many people as possible, a voice in fandom, and allows us to get a little bit of financial compensation as well. And again, it's a total win, because it doesn't cost anybody anything. And it's just all through the advertising that we don't even do. We just insert them in the middle of the show, and automatically inserts at the beginning and end of the show, as I'm sure a lot of you have noticed so far. So I feel like it's really, really good. I feel like it's going to expand our audience by four times. It's going to be amazing.
Wow. No, that was my kind of follow-up question was, like, does it change? Like you mentioned too, everything's still free. I mean, we still bring the content.
Yeah.
Still definitely bringing the conversation as well. But I want to reinstate too that, you know, this only helps, you know, you reach more folks, do more events. Recently you were out, you know, doing the gala, for, or with,
Rancho.
Yes. Thank you. The Rancho event and seeing Lucasfilm again, and, obviously brought great content there. So it only helps and enhances, you know, listeners' experiences, I think, in a good way, in a great way. And allows them to even jump on board with the conversation as well. So I'm excited for it. I think everybody is on board and excited to be able to interact. And I want to say too, I think it's cool that each of our shows do get their own feed.
Yeah.
So you can kind of pick and choose if you decide to go that route. If you are more of a comics person, or enjoy the conversation on Lattes of Leia. And you can jump around if you want to, and you know, hit the episodes you want to hit. I think that gives a nice variety, and it gives options to listeners too.
Yeah, oh, for sure. You can say, I'm tired of this Dan Z. I want to listen to somebody else. You can do that, and we're very excited. I really want to be able to showcase our network of shows. I mean, you know, Jeff and Matt and Comics with Kenobi and Randy and Luke and Legends Library and Amy. Andrea from Lattes with Leia. And then of course, Aaron Rebels Reactions. I want them all to be able to be showcased and spotlighted. And their artwork is great. Many of the logos designed by you. Sure. And so, I feel like they can showcase that as well. So it's great. It's really great. We're all very excited about it. And it's just another step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
But we also have another big step, and I've been hinting to this. The logo has been on Instagram for over a month now. And it's the CWK coffee break, and it's time for us to reveal what that means and what that entails. So, do you have any questions for me, or should I just jump right in?
Coffee break, you know, just a little bit of behind.
Go ahead.
Behind the scenes, again, if you guys have been listening to us for quite some time now, you understand how we like to collaborate. And this was kind of our biggest branch out into a new medium. I guess it was kind of your idea. We went back and forth on some naming conventions, and it kind of took us the longest time to come up with the right kind of connection pieces to, just kind of get the idea to fruition. And I think it was a fun collaboration on designing on my part, and obviously bringing your vocals to the piece there. But
maybe again, we should say what it actually is first.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. Go ahead.
Okay, so here's the thing. One of the things that's important to me in Blog Talk Radio as an example of this is I want to be sure to expand our audience and expand Coffee with Kenobi's reach, because I very much believe in our show and believe in connecting everyone. And you know, and we're just one of, you know, a couple hundred shows out there that does it. And I think when you create a show, you have to find your niche, because there's so many amazing, wonderful Star Wars podcasts out there. So you have to put yourself into it. One of the things I like to do is video. Our oldest is incredible with video. We've done some fun there. We've done some reviews of the Nissan Rogue from last year. And I did stuff with Pozu in their shoes, and we did some other review things, and it's fun. And I also like watching things on YouTube anyway. So we are going to have CWK Coffee Break. And what that means is that three times a week, there will be a 2 to 4 minute video where I will give you a Star Wars thought for the day, something for you to kind of marinate on and think about. And sometimes those conversations will continue in the podcast. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll just be on social media or on the comments on YouTube. I don't know. The whole point is just to get more material out there, more ways for you to enjoy Coffee with Kenobi. And it's a coffee break. It's just a quick little shot of something for you to think about. And as far as when, it's probably going to be Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We're still ironing that out and doing some little things here and there. But my goal is to have it start either the last week of November or the first week in December. And I'm extremely excited about it.
That's cool. And I guess another question.
What did you think when I first told you, hey, I'm going to do a YouTube channel?
I was like, you're too beautiful for YouTube. I don't know. People love your voice, but your face, come on. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But no, it's again, it's using the tools that are out there to expand, you know, just the conversation to folks. I think it was kind of fun too, because every once in a while, you know, you and I will text each other or call each other and you know, just talk about Star Wars in general. Like, hey, what do you think about that? What do you think about this? And this is kind of that same format, just bringing it to the wider audience. It's kind of like getting a quick little visual visit text from Dan himself and being able to say, hey, you know, what would you think about the carpeting and the Millennium Falcon? What if there was carpeting? You know, we don't know, but it could be carpeting somewhere. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a heck of an example.
That's a heck of an example, I know. But it's one of those things that's kind of fun because I would like to see it kind of branch out into Dan's, you know, thoughts as he's, you know, laying awake at night or early morning, ruminations while he's brushing his teeth. You know, here's Dan, you know, doing his daily thing, and he still have an idea and thought of, what about this? What if, you know, Anakin really doesn't like blue milk or something like that? So it's,
right.
It's
one of those maybe things. Sam really isn't that coarse.
Maybe not. We, you know, you can only know just through the conversation. Again, I think it's a fun way to interact. And like you said, using YouTube is a great medium for that, I think, just to kind of kick things off.
Yeah, thank you. It's going to be spectacular. And there'll be times when I'd love to have you join me or maybe,
sure.
You know, one of the things I want to do is I want to film some of these out of conventions and at different locations throughout, you know, Star Wars, you know, in the States and beyond. So it's going to be fun. Yeah. I think it's important for YouTube to have, you know, since it's a coffee break and they just had needed quick shots of something to kind of start out your day and then move on to whatever else is going on. But it's exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. So with that, we will go ahead and take a break and we will come back and check in with Jason Brame on Star Wars Canon. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Oh, pass the cream, would you?
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Phasma and Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit PenguinRandomHouseAudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listing now. Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. And if you're finding yourself thinking, how can I help Coffee with Kenobi out? I really like this show and I want to do my part. Well, we appreciate that and we appreciate you. And one of the ways you can do that is to be a CWK Patreon contributor. I want to give a very special shout out to Tyler Wiggins, Ben Elkington, Dennis Keithley, Terry Lee, Angela Souse, Aaron Harris, Mediocre Jedi, Connie Shee, BJ Smith, Christian Dale, Nick Deco, Adam Leonard, Jim Capron, Jason Hall, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Jared Cantor, and Brian McKinney. Patreon page is something that helps us out in a lot of ways, including producing our show and distributing it through the RSS feed, which is how you send your show to different podcast catchers like iTunes and Google Play, etc. It also helps with the equipment and the upkeep. If you contribute, because there are different levels you can contribute and there are different rewards that come with this, for $5 or more a month, you can get a special mention on the show like you just heard, and we will follow you on social media. And you also become a member of the CWK Discord community, which is basically a message board that's exclusive to just our CWK Patreon contributors. For $10 a month or more, you also have the same things I just mentioned. Plus, you can set up your own Discord text channels and you get more insights and different access to different posts that we have. 35 more a month, 50 a month and more. The contributions go on and on. But the more you contribute, the more opportunities you have. You can get coffee mugs, CWK t-shirts. You can
also, by the way, get a chance to co-host a show with us, depending on how much you contribute. And be sure to check out our webpage and go to the Patreon page to see the incentives and see the opportunities for you. Because, as I mentioned, you can not only host the show with me, but you could do it one time, twice in 1 month, or you could do the entire month, all 4 shows with me in 1 month and another guest host. And that's really fun. One of the best things about the show is being able to meet and talk with and converse with each of you. And this is one way to guarantee that's going to happen. So be sure to check out our links on the webpage or the show notes for more information.
We're back, and we are here to speak with Jason Bram, who joins us for his monthly visit to discuss Star Wars canon and who knows what else. How you doing, Jason?
You know, I'm doing fantastic. I look forward to this day every month. As soon as this is over, I'll look forward to the next one.
Well, hey, we feel the same way. Very, very fun to chat with you. And Corey and I have been talking a lot about different stories that are going on in the Star Wars universe. What's kind of hitting you these days?
Well, I'm going to be intentionally vague today. It's there's not a lot that has hit the Star Wars canon stream in the last 30 days or so. Of course, the comics have started to do some really interesting things, but the most recent novel, dare I say, The Legends of Luke Skywalker, dropped about 2 weeks ago from the date of recording this. And it kind of brought up an interesting thought as you kind of sit and reflect on the canon. This is not the first time that we have been treated to fiction within fiction. And I think the Star Wars universe is growing to a point where we can actually be intrigued by layers of fiction. I think the first time this came about, as far as I'm aware, in the current canon, is the short story All Creatures Great and Small, which came out about around this time 2 years ago. Yes. Where we had the wonderful background character Boba Joe tell us a tale about how he and his creatures basically destroyed the Death Star, which we all believe not to be true.
I love that story, by the way. I love
that. No, I do too.
It was great.
And I think there's something to be said about their ability to create stories that aren't true, or at least aren't inherently true. That book ends with, or that story ends with a quote, but stories, they are powerful things, never discount their strength. And I think that's what, that's a great precursor to what's happening with the Tales of Luke Skywalker. I think that's, what an interesting way to continue to keep the mystery of what happened to Luke alive while still giving us something that we can be interested in and start to wonder what is truth and what is not. And I think it's interesting metaphysically to sit back and think that we're trying to figure out what is true and what is not within a fictional universe.
Right. And how far along are you in the book? Because I just got my copy yesterday.
Yeah. How far along are you?
I am zero words along because I have been trudging along, and trudging is probably not the right word, on Phasma, which I'm absolutely devouring and loving much, much more than I ever thought I would. So after I know Phasma, I'll move on to the Luke book.
Very good. I am exactly as far along as you are. So,
oh, good. Well, I guess next month, hopefully let's you and I and try to read this before then so we can decide what's canon and what isn't.
Right. Well, yes, my aim is to get through all these books before December 14th. But I mean, when you really sit back and think about it, it's intriguing that we're at a point in storytelling where you can do this and they can make money off of selling these books.
Oh, I agree. And Corey, where are you at in the world of Star Wars fiction these days?
Just telling a friend of mine about how awesome. We have a lot of titles upcoming. You mentioned Phasma, and obviously Luke book came out recently. Can you hear me now?
It was super duper choppy.
Really?
Yeah. As soon as I said, where are you at in the world of fiction, then I really couldn't hear you very well.
How do I sound now?
Now you sound fine. So let's do a pause and pretend like I just asked you, where are you in the world of Star Wars fiction?
Okay. So that's a good question, Dan. I was just talking to a friend of mine about the audiobooks from Audible, the Star Wars books, and having a great experience with those. You mentioned the Phasma book. having come out. And then, Jason, like you said, the Loop book's coming out, or has come out. I haven't got my hands on those yet. I've got Phasma sitting around here. I haven't cracked into it yet. I'm hoping to dig into that one pretty soon. It's kind of a time of life type thing. I know that what in the movie's kind of on edge. We're about a month out now. A lot of the stuff starts kind of popping up, and it kind of reinvents itself into my life. And I want to know what's going on, I guess, in a sense, and comparing it to, you know, fictional canon that, you know, bleeds over to the film canon. It's always kind of interesting take, because it's up to the author to, you know, kind of take the liberties, I guess, and roll around with a story that might be a little bit, you know, their own in a way, let them craft some things, a certain perspective and whatnot. It sounds like with these books, they're doing that and doing it well. So I'm excited to see what comes about that and how much it connects to the upcoming movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know that they put little hints and sprinkles, which aren't always necessarily overt, but sometimes it might just be an ancillary character or something to that effect, or even the mention of a planet. Like in Leia, Princess of Alderaan, sure, she goes to Crait a couple times, and then that might be all that it is. There are other side characters in there, so I don't know how they will be affected, but I can tell you, and you, I think you know pretty well how I feel about Phasma. I thought she was fine, whatever. She didn't do much in the movie, but that didn't bother me, because really neither did Darth Maul and neither did Boba Fett, and they are still very much iconic. So I'm just kind of in a wait and see mode with Phasma. This book is so gripping and so engaging, and she is such a force of nature. In fact, she's kind of, I'm noticing as I'm three-fourths of the way through the book, she's really kind of like a parasite, and she's fascinating. I never thought I would say this, but Phasma might be one of my favorite books in the new canon.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Jason, have you read Phasma?
I am not as far along in it as you. I'm intrigued. I've talked to a couple people about that book, and I've been getting mixed reviews on people's thoughts. I think it's interesting, because what Phasma is bringing to canon and storytelling is the complexity behind this character that I think we were all disappointed in the film, you know, from the hype that she got. And, you know, I'm just going to turn the shields off for you so you can blow up my ship. But to find out that she's got so many more layers to her, and then you add on to that the, you know, Phasma miniseries from Marvel, and it makes her that much more interesting. So I'm looking forward to finishing Phasma myself.
Well, refresh our memories on what happens in the first issue, because I have read them, of course, but there's just been a lot that's happened in between that time. How do they explain away her shutting down the shields and not seeming sort of cowardly?
I don't think they actually gave a really good answer for her reasoning behind shutting down the shields, but... Yeah, the whole arc was about her covering up the fact that she was the one who shut down the shields. Right. And I feel like there's a whole lot more going on with her that I think the Phasma book is was able to explain. You know, we see this trio of, you know, Hux and Phasma and Kylo, and then of course, you know, Snoke over all of them. And we saw the friction between Hux and Kylo in front of Snoke. And I think, you know, Phasma, as much as we want to associate her with Hux, I think she's the third faction in all this. And I think she's got her own agenda that we'll probably see play out in the next film, it seems like.
Oh, I think so, too. And based on what I've read so far in this book, we've seen in the trailer that obviously Finn and Phasma have a big showdown. And I'm telling you what, Finn better be ready, because Phasma is not to be messed with. I can tell you that. So you had a really, really... Go ahead, Corey. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, you know, talking about canon and Phasma in general, it's interesting because, like we said, you don't see a lot of her from the film perspective. We get to know her in the book format and the comic book series. Do you guys prefer it that way? Would you rather learn about a major character... you know, bits and pieces through the film or through the book or comic series, canon wise for you?
Well, to me, she's not a major character, so I'm fine with it, because they're fleshing her out. I mean, she's not a Skywalker. She's not, sure, Han Solo. She's not Darth Vader. You know, she's She's cool, but like I said, she's the Boba Fett, or she's the, you know, she's the Darth Maul. And obviously they've added quite a bit more to Darth Maul than they have Boba Fett, at least so far. But to me, when I'm watching a movie, if there's something that's purposely not included so they can use it as a book or a comic book, that would kind of grate me a little bit. But I don't think the directors and the creators of the film storylines, I don't think they're doing that. I don't think they're beholden to that. I think everything else just kind of fits around that, and that's how I prefer it to be. What about you, Jason?
I would tend to agree. I think there's a lot of stuff in Star Wars lore that we that a certain group of us just assimilate. We just assume and understand their fact, and then you go back and watch the films and you realize, wow, that's not even a thing, right? I mean, there's so much about Boba Fett that we know that we didn't get from the films, and a lot of people didn't even read it in the books, but they just know because the fans talk about it, and that's just understood. I don't really have a good current canon example for it, but when you think about the Legends timeline, I mean, most people were aware that in the Legends story universe, Boba Fett survived his fall into the Sarlacc pit. I don't think that's, I think a lot of people would tell you that they knew that to be true because people were talking about it all the time. And I think that's where we're going to get to with current canon. I think the more people who read the Phasm book and understand it, the more who are going to talk about it. And then it's just going to become part of the consciousness of fans who talk about Star Wars often.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I want to transition quickly to something really cool that has happened to you in your professional career involving Star Wars.
Well, I mean, you know, we can go that route if we want to. All the campaigning you've made for me to join the Lucasfilm Story Group, I still haven't. But
it's not over yet.
It's not. I've recently taken on, or at least temporarily been assigned to a leadership team over at Hollywood Studios at the Walt Disney World Resort, and spending a lot of my time in Launch Bay. But what was really cool recently is they allowed the cast members who were at who work at Hollywood Studios to sign the beam that is going to be at the top of the Millennium Falcon ride. So when they do that topping off ceremony, that final beam that they place is going to have all these cast member signatures from the park, well wishes and may the force be with yous and all that jazz. And aside from that, we all signed a banner that was congratulations to the opening cast of 2019. So whoever ends up working in that park on opening day will be honored with that. Well wishes to the future. So it was pretty cool. It was a really cool experience to kind of go back there and bring all the cast together and know that all of our names are sitting on top of that attraction, which will probably have some beautiful scenic pieces on top of it. And you'll never know it was there.
I think that is incredible because you're a part of it. I mean, that's about as good as it gets, really.
You know, that is true.
Jason, I had the opportunity a couple years ago to go visit the Wrigley Stadium. And one of the things, I took one of my sons with me. We had a chance to just lay in the outfield, just lay in the grass there. And now every time I go back to Wrigley, I kind of say I laid out there in the grass type thing and had that moment. And you can kind of have that same experience, I think, with this. And that's a cool feeling, I think. It's kind of, you know, a piece of your history is there, a piece of you is there in that moment. So that's pretty cool. It's a nice story.
Yes, it was. I'm glad I took the time to be part of it because the schedule wasn't going to work out so well. And I was like, you know what? This is important. So by golly, if there's something cool Star Wars happening at the park, I'm going to try not to miss it.
Oh, for sure. Are you allowed to say what's kind of going on behind the scenes, or is it too early to tell?
It's too early to tell. I mean, we all know that, you know, we all know what rides they're building, right? They've made that public from the what you can see driving into. I mean, any guest can, as they drive past the park, and kind of see the construction progress, and the framework for both the ride buildings is pretty solid. Like I said, this beam that we signed is the beam they'll use to top it off. And most construction sites have a topping off ceremony when they finish a structure. So that when that final steel beam gets placed, there will be somewhat of a ceremony, kind of like they do with the groundbreaking. It's ceremonies throughout these building processes. Early on from the streets, you could see the framework of an AT-AT, which has now been uncovered by the building. So we're all presuming that's inside the dark ride. whatever the resistance and first order fight that you're supposed to be able to ride through, walk through. Not really sure what that attraction looks like yet, but
sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're all aiming for 2019, and it's looking great. I look forward to seeing what happens, and hopefully being there to be part of it. And if not, at least being there if and when they offer cast previews. And if not, I'll be there on opening day.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to visiting the park later this week and seeing what they're doing with Star Tours as well.
That's right. That the new addition of the scenes for Episode 8 debut on Star Tours this Friday. So right. I will do my best to sneak myself on that ride as well this week. I know they're trying to get us all in there on that first day, so we all have the experience, so we can tell everyone else about it, because that's going to be a big draw this Friday. And if you have a chance, you should stop by and say hey.
I think I will. It'll be so. Next month we've got our homework. Besides the CWK book study, we're going to talk about the Legends of Luke Skywalker, and we're going to talk about what we thought about the new Star Tours. And Corey, you will have ridden it by then too, won't you?
Yeah, my hope is to hopefully sit in your guys' exact same seat, so we all had the same butt warmth. So,
sure, that's totally not creepy. And I'll leave some gum under my seat.
Okay, so perfect. I'll be able to chew that. Great.
That's right. We'll chew on that for a while. All right. Well, hopefully, no one is eating while they're listening to the show. Well, hey, Jason, talk about a weird transition. Jason, thank you so much, of course, for coming on Coffee with Kenobi. Where can people reach out if they want to ask you a question or just say hello? And let us know what you've got going on with the Chance Cube as well.
Absolutely. Well, you can always talk to me on my Twitter handle at Star Wars TCE. StarWarsTCE.com will get you to my YouTube channel, where I release canon timeline videos once a month at minimum. And then on the side, which is actually most of my free time, hanging out over at The Chance Cube, which is a podcast, blog, media network, very similar to Coffee with Kenobi, that focuses on Star Wars Destiny, which is a card and dice game from Fantasy Flight Games, which is becoming quite popular. So,
oh yes,
the game, not the podcast. I don't know about the podcast.
The podcast is awesome, and you and Aaron are going to have a bit of a tutoring session on the card.
I hope me and my wife can go out there and teach them how to play, because it's always good to bring new players into a game.
That'll be really fun. Well, thank you again, Jason. We were going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, Tom has the news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Greetings. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Akbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like Rogue One and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Phasma and Battlefront II Inferno Squad, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun, too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
We're back, and Tom is back with us to share the news. Tom, what's going on in the world of Star Wars these days?
Well, the Disney Mark's blog revealed an exclusive look at the soon-to-be-open Starspeeder flight through Crate on Star Tours. The adventures continue, inspired by Star Wars The Last Jedi. In the reveal, we see a Starspeeder caught in the battle on Crate with the red dust rising from the high plains of Crate as Resistance ski speeders skim along the surface with First Order TIE fighters chasing. In another image released, we see the passengers of the Starspeeder looking upon a screen of the Battle of Crate while it appears the crew is hosted by C-3PO. In the blog post written by George Savas, Disneyland Resort Public Relations Director, he writes, "If you're thinking that this is the only new Star Tours destination coming this week, all I can say is no, there is another. The new Star Tours attraction opens Friday, November 17th at Disneyland Park and at Disney's Hollywood Studios."
Well, we have been talking about this sporadically throughout the show because, for one thing, we all love Star Tours. Tom, you've been on Star Tours, right?
I have not.
Oh, buddy, you are going to love it. You're going to love it. It's amazing.
Well, actually, make this happen. Wow.
That's right. We're going to make it happen. The celebration in April, Corey went and I went on together with Jeff and Dennis Keithley. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And now that they're going to have new planets, I remember when they had Jakku and they had Finn going in and out. John Boyega was on it. And that was really cool. And as we've said, Disney has invited me to come out in for the premiere of it this Friday. So I can't wait to see what it is. And knowing that there's more than one option for The Last Jedi, that's a big deal because when they did this for The Force Awakens, it was just Jakku. So I don't know what they're going to have, but it's going to be pretty great.
My hope it's the Luke Skywalker secret island.
Ashto?
Ashto, yeah. That'd be fun to kind of fly in and around that. It'd be fun.
That would be cool. That means porgs, of course.
That's of course. Oh, that. Yes. Yes. Very cool. I just want you to say porgs. Wow.
So describe it. Describe what the Star Tours is like. From the image, it looks like you come and sit in it looks like a small auditorium-like seating. Is that how that works?
Corey, you want to take Corey?
Oh,
take
my. This is. I'm actually jealous of you and having not ridden it because it's a joy. It's yeah. It's definitely. So you. If you're familiar with the Walt Disney World, there's obviously a sectioned off part for Star Wars. It's grown over the years, but they have the Star Tours ride they've had for numerous years. And as you walk in, you walk under an AT-AT, and you're kind of hosted in by C-3PO, R2-D2, some droids. There's some inner workings of like a facility there. Like you're kind of on a base. And you walk through the line, it's kind of fun. And there's some interactive stuff. But then in the ride itself, you do get on a small little ship. It's like a touring ship. And then there's, I can't remember the number of different experiences, Dan, but, there's a whole host of different experiences, the rider may encounter, on numerous eras of Star Wars and numerous planets of Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. You have the original Star Tours was in operation for, I don't know, 15 years, something like that. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm sure that's not 100% accurate. But it was one thing. You got on and the premise is that you're touring the galaxy, and it's supposed to be nice and easy. But then you end up sucked in with a tractor beam with a Death Star, and then you go through this. Shower, a meteorite shower, and then at the end you go through the trench run and you blow up the Death Star, and it's all an accident because you're supposed to be a tourist. So that was great, but it was just the one thing. It was in existence for a very long time before the prequels were even made, but that tells you what it was like. And then the prequels came out and they said they needed to update it, and they knew that there was going to be different things coming on, and they wanted to have the option of being able to put new planets in and out. So when they reinvented it, right before basically Lucas sold his company to Disney, they had a thing where there's a couple different opening scenes, there's a transition piece, then there's another big scene, and then another transition piece. So you were guaranteed, there was like 40 or 50 different possibilities of what you're going to see. So for instance, now you can go through the Battle of Hoth, you can go to Coruscant, you can go to Naboo. There's just a whole bunch of cool things that you can do, and it's really cool. At one point, Darth Vader comes out and kind of moves you around with the Force, And basically, you mentioned it's an auditorium, but it's more like, what is it, 4 or 5 rows of seats. I think there's maybe 10 to 12 seats per row. And it's a flight simulator, one that's similar to what they use at NASA. And you just go through the attraction. It's just a few minutes long, but it's spectacular.
But it's hosted by Anthony Daniels, wow, C-3PO, sounds... which is cool too.
That's right.
Okay, so that is C-3PO up there that I was looking at in the image. Well, that is cool. Well, yeah. Our second story tonight also involves Star Tours, because Mark Hamill tweeted today that it took him long enough, but his childhood dream of working at Disneyland finally came true. While park-goers were preparing to enjoy Star Tours attraction, a Disney employee standing in front of the group reported that the captain did mention something about a special passenger and that the force is strong with this one. And on that cue, Mark Hamill shouts, "Hello, everyone," as he enters the cabin of the Star Tour ship. And let's just say the audience, as ABC News reports, the audience lose their minds in excitement. There is a video on Hamill's Twitter account with this, and it's all over the internet as well. But Hamill continues to joke, "There's no Star Wars fans here, are there?" Well, I am sure Hamill made more than just his dream come true with this visit.
Well said. Oh, absolutely. When I saw this, I mean, you have chills. I mean, imagine sitting in this attraction, Corey, and Mark Hamill walks onto the bridge. I mean, that would just be mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's one of those things that these celebrities seem to do every once in a while on premiere night or just randomly kind of doing a viral promotion or something like that. But this Mark Hamill is such a fan-oriented celebrity. He loves to interact with folks, loves to do these type of fun things. And this is right up his alley. I mean, this doesn't surprise me at all. I think, again, like we've talked about, the ride itself is incredible. But yet to write it with Luke Skywalker himself. I mean, that's just one of those things you just can't either fathom happening. And here it is.
It's not the first time we've talked about Mark Hamill on this show, surprising fans. Remember the commercial that they were recording where people were talking about their Star Wars memories and then,
Yeah.
And those reactions and the reactions here on the Star Wars tour were so great. I mean, you know, these people are there to see something completely different. And wow, have you seen the video and the reactions from the folks sitting in there?
I have. There's one guy that's in the front, and the way he reacts and his eyes pop out is probably what I imagine I would do.
Yeah.
Do you wonder, like, if people see, something that happened, like, "Oh, who's this guy?" You know?
I don't know who it is. I can see Deanna. My wife's saying, "Who is that?"
Yeah.
When we saw The Force Awakens at the end, she said, "Was that Luke Skywalker?" I'm like, "Yeah." So it can happen.
The noob.
hard to even imagine.
Well, so either way, that's okay.
That's exactly right. So I know. Also, there's something going on with IMAX, isn't there?
There is. Star Wars revealed on their Twitter account this week that the new IMAX film poster for Star Wars The Last Jedi. In the post, Star Wars writes, "Fulfill your destiny in IMAX." And the poster continues with the red theme like the other posters for the film, with a stack of characters that include Rey dressed in a red cloak at the bottom of the stack of characters in the center. And then the character stack it's a little light on First Order, with only Phasma and Kylo Ren, and Kylo Ren's holding his helmet off to the right of Rey. And then a host of Resistance characters, including our favorite droid threesome, a lonely Chewbacca, Finn, Poe, and Rose to Rey's left. And above center are Leia, with above her, Luke. Besides Rey's red cloak, there's a red streak going top to bottom behind the character stack, and light gray on either side of the poster. At the top, the poster reads, "Experience it in IMAX," with the Star Wars The Last Jedi logo at the bottom by all the movie business. A stunning poster for what promises to be a stunning film, but the poster demonstrates what seems to be the seriousness of this film, with no comic relief because the porgs are missing.
Interesting. It seems like, Corey, every time you're on these days, there's new art to sort of dissect. what do you think about this image? I mean, because there's also an AMC theater poster as well.
Yeah, so that's a good point. Yeah, with this one in particular was interesting because there's no lightsaber igniting. Reza holding the hilt of lightsaber there, which is interesting. You said it's very serious in nature. It's very obviously got the red theme going on. The cloak is really what's interesting to me enough on Rey. I feel like I've seen it before somewhere in some other art pieces for the movie, but to have it front and center here and have her kind of be the focal point a little bit, yet dressed in red, it's quite striking to see her do this and looking very, drawn in to herself to reflect on the events of the film.
All right, I like that. That's pretty insightful. And my thought on this is just kind of like, yeah, okay, fine. I'm tired of new posters. I'm ready for the movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean, if they're going to keep showing these new posters, I'd rather they do it right before the movie comes out. And of course, we're just a month away, as we talked about at the top of the show. But I think I'm just ready. I mean, all these hints and teases and allusions, I'm just ready to see the movie.
I do love the poster, and the red stripe is like a streak of almost where the brush is, a paintbrush is losing its paint. But I do, Corey, that's a great point about no lightsabers ignited on this one. And I think what's really stunning about this one is the way Kylo Ren is holding his helmet down low on the poster. I don't know if that's symbolic or not, but it looks really cool.
It does look cool. I mean, that's certainly, I as we keep continuing to see, it seems like there's gonna be a lot more Adam Driver and a lot less Kylo Ren in this film, but again, hard to say. But we will know in just 1 month from the day of this recording, which is really exciting. Tom, thank you so much for bringing us this news.
My pleasure.
We will take another break, and when we return, we will discuss chapters 11 to 18 of Phasma. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee, tea, or me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Phasma and Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi was also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. We're back and we are ready to dive back into our book chat with Phasma. Today is chapters 12 to 18, and we start out chapter 12 with a little bit more about why Cardinal does not like Phasma, or at least some hints to why they don't like one another. Actually, that's not fair to say. We don't know how Phasma feels about Cardinal because we have not seen that yet, but more on that very soon. So we found out that Cardinal and Phasma were both, quote, snatched up by Brendel Hux, and it seems that when Phasma showed up, before Phasma showed up, Cardinal was the big bad, the man in charge that was training soldiers, and he was the personal protector of Brendel Hux. But as soon as Phasma showed up, and in various degrees, looking very rough and like she had been through a lot of intensity, been through hell, quite honestly, but no worse for the wear. She clearly was a survivor and a force to be reckoned with, as we mentioned on the last show. But when she shows up, all of Cardinal's responsibilities are cut in half, and he's no longer the protector of Hux, which Cardinal does not like at all. So Cardinal believes that he helps cadets find inner strength and tap into their core to make them resilient. That's what motivates him. That's what drives him. That's what makes him feel like he is making a difference in the First Order? Because remember, typically if you're a, quote, bad guy, end quote, you don't think you are evil. And he very much thinks that he's restoring order, which is a motif we see throughout the entire Star Wars saga. So we get a flashback. And when Cardinal first meets Phasma, and this is on page 85, he thinks that Phasma is a man, which is interesting. And of course, I don't know if you would say it was sexist, but it's definitely shows the Cardinal. Yeah, I think it is probably a little bit sexist. I'll read you the description. Let's see if I can find it here on page 85. It says that he, for a time, Cardinal was sure it was a man. Clearly wasn't a proper stormtrooper, but he wore white stormtrooper armor, ill-fitting and utterly filthy. Blood, muck, and scorch marks were everywhere. Under the armor, he was blasphemously wrapped in red fabric instead of the requisite black body glove, standing taller than Cardinal or Brindle and giving off an air of quiet menace. Well, that's obviously much more eloquent than what I was describing a few minutes ago about Phasma and her appearance. I just think that's interesting. They thought of her as a man at first because she had the bucket on. She had the stormtrooper armor on, so he didn't know. Now, we learn about, basically, there's a lot of irony with Cardinal. He breaks First Order rules to help the First Order. He's not supposed to be torturing it and take someone aside and basically follow his own rules. He wasn't ordered to torture, but he's doing it because he wants to try to undermine Phasma and find a weakness so that he can overthrow her and basically return his favor. So he goes against the First Order to help the First Order, which is very ironic. Now we go back, and basically most of 12 to 18 is about what happened in Parnassus 10 years ago. So Phasma, people are starting to fear her. She may have slipped something into a nightly stew that her people had so that they could leave. So they find that that is a little disturbing. They don't have proof, but they are concerned because you're supposed to be honest. And there's almost a code of chivalry among their people. It's certainly not the same as Arthurian chivalry, but it is something that is there. Then we go to page 100. And Brendel is getting a lot of questions from basically Phasma and her people, and here it is. He says, "Where do you get them from?" Meaning technology and medicine. And Brendel Hux replies, "We buy them from merchants." "But where do merchants get them?" Brendel wasn't smiling now. "These foolish questions waste valuable time. The wonderful thing about civilization is that you buy what you need, thereby supporting merchants and artisans. Where these sellers source their goods is not my problem, but I assure you they do not come from humans. Such things are generally frowned upon in more civilized parts of the galaxy." There's a lot in that paragraph. Basically, you find another motif in evil in literature and in history is that evil or bad does not want you to question. They want you to sort of walk the line, the status quo, and don't think outside the box because that will get you to creativity and possibly some sort of rebellion against how they are trying to control you. So that definitely falls in line. And then the fact that he has to make a distinction about doesn't come from humans. It's frowned upon by more civilized parts, but he's not civilized. He's a murderer. He's someone that doesn't take diversity into his, basically his lexicon of his philosophy, his beliefs. He's not a nice guy. You know, he doesn't believe in diversity in the Star Wars universe. So he's able to sort of cut off and say, no, humans wouldn't do this, but he's human and he does this. So you know, a lot of irony with the First Order. Now, on 102, I had just a quick little sand joke that I think was fun. They have never seen sand, Phasma or people, and this is what is said. "It shifts under your feet, coarse and rough, irritating, gets everywhere, slips into your clothes and boots." It's hard not to laugh at and think of Anakin when you see that part. So go to page 103. We have freedom versus giving up, personality versus power. And that really ties into Siv's observations of stormtroopers, because they are, of course, all together, Phasma and some of her people, and then Hux and a couple of stormtroopers. So there, she's looking at the stormtrooper, and it says, "Would a good leader prevent his soldiers from speaking their minds? Did these warriors give up their own power, their own personality so easily? It was a new way of doing things, and one that didn't sit well with the free folk of the Sire." So again, that motif, and a motif is a recurring idea, image, pattern, theme that shows up throughout a certain genre or a story or storyline in the mythology of Star Wars. Clearly has this stormtrooper stuff where they're not individualized, and there's a lot of that in this section, a ton of that. So go to, by the way, briefly during this, the narrative switches to a second person where you're aware that you're being talked to, which is when you're aware that Cardinal is doing the interrogation, which I think throws you off a little bit because basically it's V talking to Cardinal, and they sort of break the narrative and to remind you that that's going on without actually identifying it. But it's a little jarring, to be honest, but it's okay. So on page 107, there's this really interesting, creepy thing that happens with these beetles that come out of the desert and they suck up blood. And let's see, I found something there that I thought was really interesting. It says, crushing the beetle between her fingers, Phasma threw the wet, gold, and black carcass into the mess of beetles fighting over the drop of blood. The beetles fell upon their fellow, devouring every drop of viscous fluid, within until there was nothing left but sparkling shards of exoskeleton. As soon as the moisture was gone, the beetles burrowed back underground, leaving the once smooth sand pebbled with peculiar cone-shaped mounds Phasma stood. I thought that was a metaphor for Phasma. She's very much showing again and again. I called her a predator before, but I'm starting to see her as like a virus because she's clearly so driven. And through most of the flashback, she was just all about her people and preserving the sire. But now it's seeming more and more that she just wants to advance and evolve in her own way. And it doesn't really matter who she steps on, but she's very clever in not only blending in, but bringing people along. And so far, I don't have evidence that she's going to betray them, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. So we go to page 110, and there's an interesting little debate about what's bravery and what's foolishness. Let's see if I can find it here. This is where they're debating, basically going through this really, really tricky planet where the terrain is awful and nature seems to be against them. There's a quote that says, what if Phasma had planned, and why was she suddenly so very determined? They'd seen her fight against all odds and take great risks for her people, but the way she marched through the sand without pause struck them as almost suicidal. So again, they're starting to see cracks in her armor, and it's not really cracks in her actual armor so much as it is cracks in their idealized version of her. Page 113 has an interesting little Stormtrooper pro versus con, where again they talk a little bit about individuality. The three armored soldiers took off their helmets for the first time, and so it was oddly fascinating to see that they were just people like any others, their hair showing close to their heads and their skin sweaty and red. One of them was a woman, although it was only perceptible through her facial structure. And it goes on to say, her armor showed no difference in physiognomy, and Civ recalled being pleased that among the First Order women were considered equals and warriors. But then, consider the fact that it says down later below, Civ considered what it would be like to wear the shining white armor herself, to be faceless and mighty, and one of countless others fighting for a worthy cause. Again, the Empire or the First Order taking away your identity and getting you to think that's a good thing because you're working together as cogs of the machine instead of people. And that's reiterated. There's a conversation later where they talk about the fact that they don't have names, they're numbers, and they seem to think that's okay, which is interesting. So Carr dies. Carr is the wisecracker, a tough warrior. He puts his hands in the sand, and he gets bitten by this beetle, and it infects him, and eventually he ends up, getting weaker and weaker, and it's just blue veins are everywhere over a few days. Then he explodes into this pussy water, and it's really, really nasty. But the way they all respond shows them basically what they think about life, and we'll let you read that and kind of figure it out. Phasma continues to adapt. Turn to page 131 at the very, very top. Let's see. Phasma basically says, Brenda looks at Phasma and says, I look forward to hearing more of your strategies and how they might be applied in a more, say, controlled environment. Perhaps one day we will sit together and watch your warriors test mine. And Phasma said, that would be most instructive. She's adapting and basically saying, yeah, I'll play along with your little plan so I can learn more about you and study you. We see that a lot. Again, she's camouflaged almost, kind of hidden in plain sight, because I think people know now I'm deep that she's got something sinister planned, but they don't want to cross her because she's scary. So Hux is dying through their journey. There's a lot of things that happen with some of the indigenous life on Parnassus. And there's this huge blob of blackness, and they're about to get past. It takes an hour and a half, and then Hux shoots at it, and all these beetles show out, and these wolves, and all these other frightening creatures, and then he ends up getting injured, and he's dying. So then he suddenly get picked up by this droid, and then they're in Terpsichore Station is a mining facility of Konstar, and this is where the majority of the second half of the section for today is. They're like a machine with eyes, and because they heal Hux, they give him these medicines. They're Phasma and the group are not able to pay, so they have to work off their debt, and Phasma attacks, and then this black kind of mist comes out of the ceiling, and they end up being knocked out. Then something interesting happens. Turn to page 153, and we're kind of flying through stuff, because I really don't want to make this so much about a summary, so much as sort of an analysis, a quick analysis of what's going on with them. So on 153, Phasma ends up basically getting... Well, she covets armor, basically. It says, in fact, Siv had known Phasma since they had been children, and yet she was seeing a new side of her leader. Phasma had always been dedicated to power, but now she was hungry for more than just stability and the sire. She coveted the armor, the blasters, the tech. Siv began to wonder if perhaps Phasma wanted it too much, and we definitely see a lot of that going on. So, on 154, we learn that these are faceless soldiers. Again, they reference the Stormtroopers being faceless. On 158, Phasma finds some makeshift armor, and it's a very sinister... It's not like that cool 80s thing where Batman suddenly puts on the costume or something like that. Phasma puts it on, and you just know something sinister, something creepy, something dangerous is going to happen. She's getting ready to pounce, is how I look at it. I'm looking forward to it. Now, next week is going to be our off week, as we talked a little bit before, and we will at the end of the show. So you're basically going to have 2 weeks. So if you're trying to stay along, eventually, by the time we reconvene for show 99, you'll have read chapters 19 to 32, which seems like a lot. And it is a lot. But if you want to break it down, which is what I'm going to do, I'm going to try to read 19 to 25 next week and then 26 to 32 the week after. So I'll be ready to come back and talk with each of you about what's going on with Phasma. Fascinating, fascinating book. So we'll take our last break. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Penguin Random House Audio and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Player FM, our Coffee with Kenobi website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and would love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia.
A big thank you to Corey Club for joining us once again on Coffee with Kenobi. Where can listeners get in touch with you, my friend, if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Absolutely. I love hearing from fans and just folks all around the universe. I'm on the interwebs at Twitter, Facebook. You can email me, CoreyC@CoffeeWithKenobi. I'm at Corey Club on Twitter. Instagram, another place you can catch me shooting pictures of Star Wars posters and fun things. But I just feel free to reach out and ask a question or just get in touch any way you feel like possible.
And Corey does have a really fun Instagram account, too, by the way.
It's wintertime now, so I'm not grilling as much, but who knows what happens. Anything can happen.
That's right. And I also want to thank each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We are taking the week of Thanksgiving off, so enjoy your turkey, and we will see you in 2 weeks for show number 99. If you are joining us for the CWK Book Study, have chapters 19 to 32 of Phasma read by then. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.